Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is kicking off his visit to the U.S. today, seeking to soften the controversy over his speech to a joint session of Congress, which he'll be delivering tomorrow. He insisted today that the alliance between Israel and the U.S. is stronger than ever, despite differences with the Obama administration over a possible nuclear deal with Iran. House Speaker John Boehner had invited Netanyahu to speak to lawmakers, which is considered a breach of protocol because such requests typically come from the White House. Netanyahu spoke today to the lobbying group, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee.
America lives in one of the world's safest neighborhoods. Israel lives in the world's most dangerous neighborhood. America is the strongest power in the world. Israel is strong, but it's much more vulnerable. American leaders worry about the security of their country. Israeli leaders worry about the survival of their country.
Well, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, also spoke to AIPAC. She defended the talks with Iran, saying the U.S. and Israel share the same goal.
I am struck that when I read about alleged policy differences on the Iran nuclear negotiations, I rarely see mention of the foundational strategic agreement between the United States and Israel, an agreement that undergirds our entire engagement with Iran. The United States of America will not allow Iran to obtain a nuclear weapon, period.
Well, Netanyahu's speech to Congress tomorrow comes just 3 weeks before elections in Israel, and he's facing a tougher-than-expected fight for an unprecedented fourth term as prime minister. Some members of Congress are boycotting the speech because they say it comes too close to that election.
Well, switching gears, the elderly can often have what's called night terrors, horrific, nightmarish nights, but they're fine when the sun rises. About 20% of people with dementia have such problems with their internal clocks that they sleep all day and are wide awake at night, putting unbearable stress on their caregivers. From Kaiser Health News, Rachel Gottbaum reports on a place where people with dementia can go at night to thrive.
In her Manhattan apartment, Josefina Del Tejo is trying to coax her 84-year-old mother, Brunhilda Ortiz, to get ready to go out. Del Tejo and her mother's daytime caretaker make up a story to get the old woman to cooperate.
What we tell her is that we're going to either to the airport, or we're going to go to Miami, or to a doctor's appointment, or to the Dominican Republic.
What'd you just tell her now?
That if she wants to go to the Dominican Republic or Miami, and she says she wants to go to the Dominican Republic.
Brunhilda Ortiz has Alzheimer's disease. Her daughter says her mother was once a proud, hardworking immigrant who raised four children on her own. But now she has changed.
Like, I see my mom now. Her memory has been totally lost. She's very disoriented. She doesn't communicate at all.
For months, Ortiz would sleep during the day and be up much of the night wandering around the apartment. Her daughter was too afraid to sleep, afraid her mother might fall and hurt herself or even try to leave.
She wanted to sweep the floor. She wanted to watch TV. She wanted to clean the bathroom. She wanted to take a shower. She wants to go out. This is 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
But now Del Tejo is finally getting some sleep. That's because every evening her mother is picked up by a van to a place where she goes to spend the night hours. It's a kind of day camp, but at night for people with Alzheimer's. When I arrive at the Hebrew home in the Bronx, it is after 8 p.m. Brunhilda Ortiz and the other clients here have all been fed dinner. And now they are dancing to live music. This is the River Spring at Night program at the Hebrew Home in Riverdale. It's a place where people with Alzheimer's can be cared for 7 nights a week. Activities may include arts and crafts, cooking, yoga, or Zumba. There's often live entertainment, like tonight's show, Juan Ortega playing American and Spanish favorites on his synthesizer. It may look like play, but everything that happens here is designed as therapy to help stimulate these memory-compromised people whose internal clocks are all mixed up.
Their day is our night and vice versa, and they're confused about it.
Deborah Messina runs the program here. She says many Alzheimer's patients go through something called sundowning.
It's usually that point at dusk where an agitation comes, a confusion comes, people get lost, people wander. So what's happening is that they're home with their caregivers, and their caregivers need to sleep, and they're up all night.
As people dance and enjoy the live music, the room next door is another universe. Here the music is soft and the lights are low. There's a subtle scent of lavender in the air. This is where people with more advanced disease spend their evenings. Some are sitting around a table, each with a caseworker who helps them work with blocks and basic puzzles.
Pick up the purple one. No? Well, go for the red.
Across the room, several people are slumped in wheelchairs. They are getting hand massages from the social workers. And though their faces look expressionless, they seem calm. For people with advanced dementia who might otherwise become agitated at night, this room is a sanctuary, says Deborah Messina.
We're engaging them on their level. And being able to do that might be through touch, might be through sound, might be through smell. It works for them. It brings them a sense of serenity.
About 40 people with Alzheimer's and other types of dementia come here to spend the evenings. The program is the brainchild of David Pomerantz, who runs the Hebrew Home. He says the idea came to him after hearing stories from struggling families.
We listened to stories where people were sleeping in front of doorways. They would sleep in front of the doorway because they were concerned while they were sleeping that mom or dad would wander out of the house. We heard a lot of stories of people getting out, wandering, being lost for many hours, and families would wake up in a panic that they couldn't find their loved one in the middle of the night.
In 1996, Pomerantz created the overnight program. It's covered by New York Medicaid and some private insurers. And even though it hasn't been easy to find staff willing to work the graveyard shift, he says the benefits are priceless.
People that would ordinarily be at home, pacing around, dealing with challenging issues in the household, come here where their behaviors are normalized, everything's okay, activities are structured for them to be successful, they eat, they relax, they can be themselves. To us, this is who they are. We're not the family members who are dealing with that incredible loss of seeing somebody who was and isn't anymore.
This program may help keep people out of nursing homes, and it saves money. A typical nursing home stay in New York is about $320 a day versus $200 a night for the overnight program. But so far, few, if any, overnight programs exist solely for people with dementia.
The numbers of people being diagnosed and suffering from Alzheimer's are off the chart. And with those numbers being what they are, there's going to need to be programs like this and programs we've even thought of yet.
Name something that people said they're giving up, such as...
Nothing.
Late in the evening, it's time for the ice cream social and a quiz.
Some people said, this year I'm going to give up...
Swearing.
Swearing. Is that what you're giving up this year, Lucy?
No.
The most common thing that they say on an airplane while you're flying is that we run into some...
strange people.
Yeah, that could happen.
When the sun comes up tomorrow, after breakfast, everyone here will return home. Brunhilde Ortiz will take the van back to her apartment in Upper Manhattan, where she'll be greeted by her daughter, Josefina Del Tejo, before she leaves for work. Del Tejo says she doesn't know exactly what happens during her mother's nightly sojourns, but she is grateful.
She was very weak when she started there. We had to carry her to bring her up and down. Now she can walk up and down. She walked to Broadway. I mean, she's a totally new person.
Brunhilde Ortiz will sleep for much of the day under the watchful eye of her caretaker paid for by Medicaid. When her daughter, Josefina Del Tejo, returns home from work, she will tell her mother stories, maybe about going to Miami or to the Dominican Republic, to persuade her to get ready to go back to the Bronx for the night. And later, Del Tejo will get some sleep. For Here and Now, I'm Rachel Gottbaum.
And sadly, a few months after we visited the Hebrew home, Brunhilde Ortiz passed away from congestive heart failure, but her end time, it sounds, was spent in what sounds like a safe haven. Our story is a collaboration with Kaiser Health News.